What do you call a factory that makes okay products?
Kosher?
Satisfactory.
Oh, because it's okay.
Factory.
Okay, but that's not an original, right?
No, I don't do original jokes.
Okay, this is an original. You ready? Okay. What did the...
I'm ready. Don't laugh before I do. I'm the judge.
What did the cushions say to the sofa? What did the cushions say to the sofa?
Love me.
I don't know. That's weird. That's a weird answer.
I don't know.
What did the cushions say to the sofa?
Cushions?
Let me in, couch. Let me in.
That's better than what I said.
Yeah. Like, couch, coach. Let me in.
Oh, let me that's in. What you were saying?
Yeah.
Oh.
Doodle bomb.
I should smack you over the head, mister.
Guys. You look a little frazzled. Just get up.
Heyo.
I say shmir.
Agree to disagree.
I mean, we love all Jews and all Shul.
We love all Shul. Okay, hold on. I'm there. Oh, you like those mirabas.
David Hasselhoff, baby.
Oh, the Hoff.
It's that's okay. We're Jewish. Show. Because we are experts in everything we talk about.
Yeah, they're looking to us as a guiding light.
Sally.
Eliezer.
This episode is special. It's an episode special. I didn't think
Wait,
would ever...
Can you do one of the like a very special episode?
You know, we really got to mark these.
Can you label that? No, the nice
on,
dream one.
On the special episode of It's Okay, We're Jewish.
No. Okay. Let me try it.
Okay, you go.
Today on a very special episode of It's Okay, We're Jewish.
Wow.
See?
You got it. The right you have the touch. You have the touch. I didn't think that this was an episode that would air.
There's an A.
Air.
Serge.
You know what? I've been practicing since their episode with the meat, with the Brick Brothers, the meat people.
Bricks Brothers.
The Bricks Brothers was my Mungatuck. What is it called?
Mongolian? Mukbang?
Mukbang.
You've been practicing like at dinner time?
Yeah. It's and everyone leaves the table.
I understand. It's disgusting.
One of the reasons... As people know, one of the reasons that we started this podcast was we wanted to bring some of the joy of Judaism to the world. J-O-O-Y.
You know that song?
No.
It's a really good song.
Ding da bum ding bum bam bum bam bum bum. Give me some love. No, I'm just trying along with you.
Around. I gotta ask him. Give me some love. You gotta cut that part out. My voice cracked. Roll and ding da bum. Are we doing Andy?
I don't know what's happening. I think we're in trouble. Solomon.
Yes. By the way, did everyone know that Solly's short for Solomon? You might have just confused
them.
They do now.
Okay. So we started this podcast to bring the joy of Judaism in a time that we thought was pretty dark. And the truth is, you know what? In many ways, things have gotten worse, right? Anti-Semitism is people saying pretty rough stuff. And like we're putting out the goodness in the world.
Yes.
And we're pretty proud of ourselves.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And but one of the reasons we knew we could do it.
Oh, right. It's not like you just put us two together.
Yeah.
And just like go.
We're not
dance,
just,
monkey,
we didn't,
dance.
We didn't know we were going to be like peanut butter and jelly.
I love peanut butter
so
and jelly.
Good.
Is that I thought I was the only one.
Can we get... Well,
you do that too?
You know what I prefer it on? Like some whole wheat.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. Why is it so much better on a whole wheat sandwich?
I want the white bread. Like, I like it.
I like white bread. You know what white bread is very good with?
What?
Cheese.
Sure. Cheese and a little bit of butter?
Mayo. Butter.
Or mayo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cream cheese?
With cheese?
Yeah.
You know.
I like the cheese to know what's possible.
I think the listeners want me to say, oh, that's gross. I've done it.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Have you ever done cream cheese and jelly?
Of course, but only on matzah.
Yes.
You need to lie down? Are you okay?
Yeah, so good. Okay, This is literally nothing. So so
how did we know that we had chemistry?
A few years back. I mean, we've known each other for a long, long time.
Yeah, since 2007.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the summer of 2007.
The volcano.
Sally had moved back to L.A. Eliezer.
Was it 2007?
Yeah.
Oh,
Eliezer, it was right after my son was born.
Oh.
I walked into Eliezer's office.
Really working on those voices.
He really didn't like me because of my orange shirt.
It was so orange.
He wouldn't stop talking about it.
It was bright.
Ignoring all the regular interview questions.
I could not see straight.
Asking me if I owned any other color.
He said no.
But he hired me anyway.
Because we had no one else.
I was going to say the same thing.
And he was really cheap.
That's now, true.
So we've known each other a long time, but a few years back, you called me because you were doing some, I think it was during the height of the COVID.
It was right when the pandemic had just hit. We were all in lockdown. We were home. And I really just wanted to put some goodness out into the world
so
on Zoom and
you
on
were
Facebook.
Doing these like interviews for the, was it for the OU or...
I was working for the OU Department of Synagogue Services at the time.
So you were interviewing people just to like get things out there because you're a creative guy.
I was getting Jewish faces, Jewish places type of thing. Yeah.
So you called me and you're like, hey, how would you feel if we did one of these Solly interviews?
Yeah.
Did it have a name? Was it called Solly interviews?
Yeah, it was called like Zoom.
Zoom? Oh, that's cool.
I thought it would catch on.
It's a great name.
I don't know. I'm still waiting for it to catch on.
Yeah, yeah. So we did it and I don't...
Just
you know,
came to me.
It was just... You have to write that down.
Yeah.
It was really great. And we just kind of talked. I think we talked to, we had like a movie showdown something also because
no,
we both.
Did we, was it one episode or we did two?
I think we did one and like we talked about two.
Can I just tell you whenever I do think back to that interview or really every interview that we do, and we don't mention him enough. And I'd like to mention him right now. Someone
Dove?
Who's like always, Dove for sure, but someone who is always, you know, rooting for us and texting us and commenting. David Statman.
David Statman.
Yeah. We don't give him a... David, I'm sorry. First of all, please apologize.
I apologize, David. What?
A little better.
Of course. David's been a good friend to both of us.
Yes.
Been a bit of a muse.
Yeah.
That's like, you know...
I know what a muse is.
Not amusing, although he's funny.
He's great.
We don't give him enough credit.
So give him... Now
David, I'm going to give you credit, and I'm going to give you a...
Wait, what does credit look like on a podcast?
Right here. Here you go. David Statman.
That's credit? No, it's like half a credit.
David Statman.
No.
David Statman.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yellow is credit. That's
yellow.
The yellow button.
Good job.
Okay. Well, thank you, David. So I remember David. So I Zoomed with you when we had this interview. And yeah, I think we did a movie list, top 10, and then we did some sports movies. No?
Did we? I don't... Well, we're going to find out soon.
Oh, I think I did sports movies, and then you were commenting...
I don't know sports.
Whatever it is, there was chemistry there. And didn't you have like a sword with you?
I did have a sword.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, okay. And I prop, right. I, yeah, I want, I.
You say that very casually, like it wasn't,
well,
a, wasn't supposed
sword,
to be a shot.
I got the sword from the Scottish festival that I think we did NCSY regional.
And I remember your mom was there. Yes.
Yes.
Your mom.
Yes, she was.
Your mom bought you that sword.
That's right.
It was a very nice gift.
That's right.
Was it your birthday?
I don't know. Buys me swords randomly.
Okay. Why do you only keep one?
Well, you can't have all the swords out. I have a whole... There's a whole room.
Sword room.
The sword room.
Yeah. You're so rich.
Yes.
All right. So today...
So we had that. And that... While that wasn't the reason we started the podcast, it was the reason... It anchored us.
It planted seeds.
That
was
today,
the garden of this podcast.
We wanted to share that with you. Now, it was done on Zoom. So there are visuals like the sword.
Yeah, it's a good thing I said something about
Thank God, because otherwise you'd be like, what is he talking about?
What? Oh,
but
it's a
today's
sword.
Episode is, we're it's an homage.
Yeah, do you remember like when you watched a show and then they'd have an intro like we're doing right now, but then the whole thing would be a clip show?
Well,
and you'd be like, oh, how lazy can they be?
Actually,
that's what we're going to do.
Well, I'd say even worse.
Oh.
Because like one of my favorite shows is MASH.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding.
No. That's a helicopter. Margaret! Give me some O2 blood stats.
There's definitely people listening still.
So but I always hated when you're watching a show and it's moving, it's progressing, and then they have this weird episode. It's like a dream sequence, or they're doing a documentary. Like, I don't want that. I don't need that. Like, someone gave the director some creative freedom. Like, I don't need that. And that's what this episode is.
Yeah.
This is us, you know, saying we're going to do something a little different, but we also really,
we want people to remember our roots.
Right. It's about a Karsa Tov to each other.
Yeah. And a Karsa Dov.
A Karsa Tov. There we go. But it really was something that was special that really did plant the seed. And we thought we'd integrate this into our season And today's episode is really the first episode, even though we didn't call it It's Okay, We're Jewish. We had no idea.
It's Okay, We're Zoomish.
We're Zoomish. Oh, is that? Mm-hmm. Oh, that Why? Might be idolatry, what you just said.
Oh, we're going to offend the Zoomish people?
Yeah.
They know so me. I'm a card-carrying Zoomer.
Our Swedish listeners might go up after. There's a lot of Zoomies there.
There are?
Yeah. It's a known fact. In fact, I believe that's the national religion.
Zoomy?
Zoomy.
Zoomography?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a Zomarkity.
Yeah.
Zonarchy. Yeah. It's a Zonarchy.
It's all Zoom to me.
Zoom, yeah. So we hope you enjoy this episode. This is the episode that really started it all, that gave us the inspiration.
Let's do it.
The power, the seeds. And here you go. Okay, we're Jewish.
I said a zoom, zoom, zoom. I mean, he said way-o.
Way-o. Oh, my God. You remember the car commercial, the Toyota commercial?
Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
What? No, the way I said it.
No, but I think it starts like zoom, zoom.
Then
it
goes Mazda?
Zoom, zoom,
Mazda.
Zoom. Was it Mazda? I used to play that.
Mazda.
I used to
passion do for the road.
During COVID, yeah. We had these morning meetings on Zoom with the students. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started it, with the zoom, zoom, zoom.
There's that Zoom Golly Golly song.
Zoom Golly Golly Golly. Zoom Golly Golly. Zoom Golly Golly Golly. Zoom. Zoom Golly Golly Golly. Zoom Golly Golly. Zoom Golly Golly. Let's go.
Okay. 3, 2. I don't know how I'm going to keep it serious.
Because it's live. I'm excited.
It's live. Wow. This is a risky guess here.
How many people? David Sapper.
Let's see. Hold on. Right now, it's just you and me. Who else? Comment if you're alive. Hello, everybody. All right, let's get started. Let's chime in.
All right.
Good morning, everybody. Hello.
Can I get a high five? Can you?
Well, hold on. I'm actually not in that view. So right now, it would be like this. Let me just switch my view. Okay. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Boom. Woo! I like that.
All right.
Good morning, everybody out there in Facebook land. Sally Hess here, joined by Dr. Eliezer Jones, the head of school at Akiba Schechter Jewish Day School in Chicago. He's also my first supervisor ever when I was hired way back in the day by NCSY. He's a close friend and mentor. He has joined me today on Facebook to discuss how educators and schools have adapted to this new world of online teaching and the round-the-clock efforts being made to keep students and parents like me engaged.
What do you keep looking at?
Huh? This is going to be, buckle up, everybody. It's going to be a long interview. Dr. Jones, thank you so much. Eliezer, how are you?
I'm wonderful. This is certainly my pleasure. Sally, first of all, just always good to hang out with you. I do remember the first day I met you. I think I mentioned that in my top 10 list of great Sally moments, your orange, pink, tangerine shirt, which I think you still own.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Somewhere.
It's in the shrine to you, I think.
All right, I stole it. I wear it to bed every night. But Sally, you're amazing, and I love what you're doing. And the OU is very, very fortunate to have you.
Thank you.
I look forward to this conversation. Just keep it clean, because I work with children.
I'm looking forward to it as well, and I'm happy you're here. First of all, I want to see how you're doing. How are you? How's the family? How's your community? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Chicago definitely didn't, outbreak as fast as New York and LA and Washington, but it certainly has hit us. My wife is a respiratory therapist, and actually right now is at the hospital. She is doing amazing work and putting herself at risk every day. So a real shout out to the medical professionals who are out there.
Hey, Corey.
Risking your lives. Yeah. But thank God we're all safe and healthy right now. My kids are doing well in school, and I'm not lonely. I've got Wilson.
Thank God.
Wilson.
Is that the actual, just put that up. You know, we can have a third person on this interview. Now, at what point did you say, I'm going to go ahead and splurge for that volleyball? Because we know that that is the Wilson, right?
It is the Wilson. This originally was at the Hanks home. But as we know, Tom Hanks got.
I think he's back.
He's back.
You may need to figure that thing out right there. You may be looking for that right now.
Actually, people thought I bought this as a gag for now, but I've actually had Wilson for quite a while. Big fan of the movie. And I just thought the idea of having an inanimate object as a focal, main character was so powerful Mm-hmm. And so I've had Wilson for a while, and but now I've needed Wilson more than ever.
Save that for later when we talk about therapy. We're going to get to that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm glad everybody's is safe and healthy and seem like you're doing well. So look, as a parent, anyone who has their kids in school, anyone who has kids at all, everyone's home. There's been a huge shift here out of necessity. We can't go anywhere. I know here in Los Angeles County in Long Beach, they just called it yesterday. Schools off for the entire academic year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
Oh, okay. So that's good. Well, how have schools shifted? You're the head of school. How many students are in your school and how did that work for you?
So we're a preschool through eighth grade. We have about 180 altogether. And honestly, the shift has been dramatic. I have the benefit of also being in like a bunch of different groups with other heads of schools and Jewish day schools. There's also a small group of schools with the local federation that we speak with regularly. So I've gotten to see how this shift has affected a lot of people. But starting with us, you know, a couple of weeks before we actually closed, we were having conversations like, is this real? Are people exaggerating? Are they overreacting? And we actually had a very sort of strange incident. I don't know if you heard of SAR in the East Coast?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So they were really the first Jewish day school that had to close. And we had a consultant coming to the school who was a parent at SAR and had a child that was quarantined. And they asked, is it okay if they come? And we consulted with our medical professional and said, no, they shouldn't come. And that was sort of our first trigger point. We're like, this might be more serious than we think.
Right.
We had an emergency meeting. We had a lot of different opinions and we weren't sure that we were going to close, but we knew that we had to prep for that. So we had about a week before we closed where we didn't know we were closing. And we just started doing the research on different platforms. How are we going to go remote? And ultimately, and I think this is a real, you know, says a lot about my school, my principal, my administration, my teachers. We decided instead of leaning on best practices and research for online learning, we decided to lean on our values. We have a set of core values, but one that's sort of our driving one is that we teach children, not subjects. And so it's an awesome tagline, but it really is who we are. So we do our best, it's not always perfect. How do we, you know, meet the needs of each child? So we said to ourselves, okay, forget about what the best online schooling should look like. What are our kids gonna need if we have to shut down immediately? So we realized that was about creating a continuity, some continuity of learning as best as possible, but more importantly, the connection between the friends and the teachers and really, you know, making sure our kids stay happy. So that sort of shifted us. Okay, what is that gonna look like? Right. And then I think it started to get a little more serious. We started training teachers on Zoom and we already used Google Classroom. So we said, we're gonna use that. We created like a draft schedule, like maybe this is what it could look like. What do you guys think? And then we also realized we couldn't just lean on our values. We had to lean on our teachers. So we weren't gonna just tell them what to do because we were gonna be we're all in this together. So we met with each teacher individually. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? How do you think you can do it? And we created a plan with each single teacher as well.
So what did that timeline look like then? You knew you were closing. Let's say you had, I don't know how many teachers are as tech set. Probably not as tech savvy as you are. I mean, you're miles ahead of most people I know. How long does that take to train an entire staff when you have to shut down like that and then get things rolling right away? Right.
So it's a great question. I mean, first of all, I as much as I've had the experience, you know, I was like director of educational technology for the YU School Partnership. I got to be honest, all that experience, while it's helped a little bit, there was no playbook for this.
Right.
There really wasn't. So I have to say a credit to the teachers who are on a whole spectrum of comfort with technology. Not one's like, I can't do this. You know, there were a few that like, can you help me more? And we're like, of course. But we set up the timeline, it ramped up really fast. Whereas I think the Tuesday before we were closed, we closed on a Friday. Mm. And that Tuesday we're like, I think we're gonna have to close. So we started providing, we had meetings before school, after school, during school for Zoom training. And Wednesday, Shushan Purim, right? So this is Purim, Shushan Purim. We do a roller skating event. So we had all the kids and all the teachers are at this roller rink and we met with every teacher there. We sat with them one-on-one taking notes. That Thursday morning, we had an all-staff training. And that Thursday, we realized we were going to close. And that Friday, we sent out the communication to the parents before the governor shut us down. So we actually felt pretty good that we were doing what we felt was the right thing without being forced to. Interestingly enough, like an hour or two after we announced we're closing, Pritzker told us we're closing. So I don't know if he was following us. Yeah, I think he might have been following.
Well, everyone's following you, that's for sure. Okay, so then what about parents? So, me going on Google Classrooms is not that big a deal, but I'm sure there are parents out there who could have been overwhelmed, A, by the entire thing of having their kids home. They're balancing their own jobs, so do you have to train them as well?
Yeah, so, I mean, a couple of things. Again, we were thinking about the kids, what do we need to help them, and realizing that the parents are going to be there with them, so we had to care for them as well. So we actually created personalized schedules for every student. So we didn't just give like, here's a schedule for the day. Three of our administrators actually spent the entire, that Sunday, creating individual schedules. And those schedules had links to all their Zoom classrooms. So that made it a lot easier for parents. And each week we adjust it because we see there's different needs. So we've ramped up our one-to-ones. So teachers have a lot more one-to-ones now with kids as well as our support staff. So that was a big deal. But we also were thinking like just about the parents in general. We were supporting the kids. We were supporting the teachers. We had two WhatsApp groups going on for just general tech support and support in general. And we quickly thought about the parents. So we designed a website for the parents called the Kiba Atmosphere.
Wow, that's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And that's how we named the whole school a Kiba Atmosphere. And then we built this site. I think it launched maybe a day after we went live with the school. And that's been a place that has all the schedules for the parents, family resources, dad jokes, because, you know, you got to get through this.
Dad jokes. Oh, are you funny?
Well, according to my students, not at all. But, you know, sometimes you got to bring people together through a crisis. You know, you need a common enemy. Yeah. And the dad jokes have definitely been that.
That's excellent. I'm going to write that down. Dad jokes. We got to get one or two before you go.
We do live announcements every morning.
Yeah.
So all the students in the grade school come together. It starts with dad jokes and then questions. And it's the favorite part of my day where I get to see all the smiling kids. And even the early childhood, which for a lot of schools have been a big challenge. You know, our early childhood director and her staff have done a fantastic job. A lot of live classes with, you know, readings and songs and yoga and challah making, and it's just been tremendous. So
in the early childhood, kids are also participating and just as engaged as the upper school?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I went on they were doing some Pesach songs, and the early childhood director's husband got dressed up like Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's he came out. And these little itty bitty kids are just singing and happy, and it's inspiring. I mean, I wish we were in the building. That's certainly a better learning experience and a better social experience, but under the circumstances, you know, my staff, myself, the parents, the kids, we've done something tremendous here.
It's really awesome. Are you able to share some of that can you screen share?
I can. Yeah. Let me show you the website. I can show you please. A schedule. Yeah. Let me see. Show you the dad jokes.
Can you tell me a dad joke while we're all waiting here?
So I will tell you this, that
don't get nervous. Just pretend I'm Wilson. Bring Wilson back. Yeah.
You got this, buddy.
I don't think you saw the movie. I'm beginning to question the whole thing. wasn't a lot of dialogue.
By the way, at first I was like, you know, getting stuff from the internet, and the kids were like, some kid one day was like, hello, you've been stealing these jokes. And he starts reading them up. I'm like, I never said they're original. So now I make original ones.
Oh, really? Uh-oh.
Which is very challenging. But here, I'll show
dangerous.
You. Let's see.
I'm going to shut that website down real soon.
Yeah, but now the students are actually sharing it with me, and the parents.
Okay, so this is a Kiba Schechter Atmosphere. This is just for parents.
Yeah, I mean, it's really open to anybody that if it could be helpful, but this is, we send it to the parents. Any communication we send gets here. This is the updates page. The About Us has expectations, you know, support. We actually created a Corona Chesed form for parents that, you know, if they need any extra help, maybe going shopping, or if they're struggling, we put that out there. And if you can help, you can also sign up. So we're matching people that need help with those who can provide help.
And how long did it take you to build this website?
About a day. I mean, I spent the day on it. It was quick turnaround, and we've been adding to it, so it wasn't all of, you know, all of this right away. But
incredible.
Yeah, we pretty much I'm pretty much adding stuff daily, and we update it daily. So there's a Parsha page, PE, Tefila. We have live Tefila every morning.
The whole school all together, or each classroom?
So we have one live Tefila, because normally we have groups throughout middle school, but the third, fourth, we decided to start live with them, and then we opened it up for anybody. And actually the rabbi that runs that is actually in Israel now, so he's doing it from Israel. This is the early childhood, all the videos they've created. So we created a student art gallery and a dad jokes. Here we go, just click on the dad jokes.
Let's stop dancing around it. Let's do it.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite. I did this because my principal is a bird watcher. Yeah. And so I wrote this one for her. Did you hear about the new competitive bald eagle show? It's called America's Got Talents.
Where's my laugh track?
I think this one I wrote got the most. I asked the kids to give me thumbs up or thumbs down.
Okay.
This one gave, and for me,
This is just move it along.
Yeah, I don't get
this,
that.
This is the hook?
It's mostly this.
yeah.
But I know I've succeeded.
One more.
I've succeeded when I have mostly thumbs down. So this was the one that got the most. What do cows in space say? Moon. Moon.
You're doing your best, and that's what's important.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say, what was this one? Oh, this was my favorite one, but it wasn't mine.
Oh, and are the students submitting these also?
Yeah, so that's what's happening.
Oh, that's actually fantastic.
Yeah, it's creating a nice community. So that's students really are starting to send them. They're starting to write their own. And
this is a good one. It was social distancing. I like that. The chicken. Why did the chicken cross the road?
Yep. Here's my favorite one. Oh, maybe it's not even here. I remember it. So I was going to tell you a joke. Yeah. I was going to tell you a joke about time travel, but you didn't like it.
That's good. That's.
It's a thought. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a thinker. That's a new thinker.
Anyway, so that's, you know, we have the family resources page, which grows daily. Entertainment. We have.
Let's slow down. Slow down.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Edutainment.
That's great. This is
books, virtual tours, Steam, Jewish edutainment, Pesach resources.
So how does that work for your educators running a Steam lab where it's very hands-on normally, I'd imagine? How does this work? I mean, they can Zoom and they can speak like you and I are now, but how is that experience for the kids?
Right. So these resources are all external resources. These are not our resources.
Right.
So these are videos and things that they can do at home. We, you know, it's interesting. We're not really running any Steam classes like we normally would, but those students that are inclined, I actually dropped off, I don't know, it was 2 weeks ago, to a few students, some kits, like kids who I knew that really like love this stuff. I dropped off some Arduino kits and some motors and stuff just so they can have that to do. We have art every day plus a drawing club, and that's live. So students come and she works with them. So there's definitely been some hands-on things happening. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a little more complicated virtually.
Well, this is awesome. I love this site.
We also create a forum for the teachers. I'll show you. Let me show you a schedule.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Let me ask you another question. So I've been following you since the day we met way back in 2007. And I know that you have a different philosophy, which is why you're so amazing as an educator. So coronavirus crisis aside, how do you see, obviously things have changed, but in normal circumstances, what's your ideal classroom and how does that differ from the conventional classroom that we all grew up with?
Sure. I mean, my ideal classroom, I don't know if it exists yet, but working towards it. My ideal classroom is right outside this window. It's outside in the world. And it's, you know, being able to learn through hands-on, through real life experience, which by the way, a lot of that's happening now. But, you know, like I said, our school, we're driven by the idea that we teach children, not subjects. And a lot of schools say it, a lot of schools do it, where the child is at the center. But I think what was made us sort of an easier transition to this was we weren't concerned about, you know, what standard or common core standard we were gonna hit. We were like, how do we make sure these kids are happy and satisfied? So that helped us tremendously. But even in our school now, without coronavirus, it's as personalized as we're able. You know, so small groups, small classrooms. I was in a Hebrew language class the other day. It was a seventh grade Hebrew language, and there was a fifth grader in there. Like, we try to make everything flexible because kids don't fit into, you know, specific boxes. So if a kid is more advanced, we need to make sure we can support them. And if a kid is struggling, we have to make sure we can support them. We want the learning to be learning where the kids are asking big questions.
Right.
You know, we're not telling them questions or answers. We want them to think. You know, if they leave our school with a wider, bigger ability to think, we've done an amazing job. So
awesome.
So those connections to the real world, to be able to think, to be able to question. I mean, I have a fifth grader, and I'll show you my class, but I have a fifth grader who I can't go through any of my classes without her challenging everything. And I love her for it. It's amazing. Here's a schedule. This is actually my son's schedule. So I'm not sharing anybody else's. So this is Aiden, and he is in.
Zoom in.
Yeah, I'm going to try to.
Zoom on Zoom. Uh-oh.
This is a, we tried
to. So your school created a schedule like this for every single student.
Every single student. Now, you know, a lot of kids will have, you know, Mishnah at that certain time, but it's, yeah, these are very personalized. And you'll see there's these one-on-one meetings. Like Heather is our director of student support. So Aiden has a 1:30 with her on Tuesdays. That's all very personalized and individualized.
Got it.
Those are one-on-ones. Miss Cass is our principal and one of our language art teachers. That's a one-on-one. So there's one-on-ones. We actually started off with PE thinking we'll just send, you know, things for the kids to do. And it wasn't working. By week two, we had live PE also, because we just realized we needed to have more, you know, live connection and structure. Not structure like, you know, like a structure where the kids have a pressure, like, oh my God, I have to accomplish this. Structure where there's just things that they can connect to their friends and teachers. But it follows the regular school day, 8:30 to 3:30. But you can also see there is an hour lunch, there's homework time, journal time. So they're not in Zoom all day long, but they're in it enough to feel connected. And then in between, they're sort of, you know, given the instruction, okay, work on this now.
Am I allowed to ask what an LA journal is?
Language arts, not Los Angeles.
Because I know you do like LA. So.
Right. I mean, I have my own LA journal.
Yeah, I knew. Which I've read. Sali is startling. Really, it's very shocking stuff. Yeah.
The Sali Shack section is huge. Yeah, so that's, so it's been working. And
it's again, really awesome. I love the personalized attention you give. I think it's unbelievable that you can do that, especially during this time. I'm sure people know this about you. If they don't, you're a doctor, you're a therapist. Has that played a role here? I know there's a lot of anxiety for sure on the student level, teacher level, parent level, and everywhere in between. Are you addressing that? Is your school addressing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not coming from me. We have our director of student support. We also have a social work intern, and we are, you know, we get a lot of support and advice from external experts. So we have provided, like I showed you in our family resources, we have a section for parent self-care. When we do our updates, you know, we try to address some of that in our meetings with the students. You know, we're very, very understanding. I mean, the idea that when a teacher, you know, normally has a class and like, okay, you know, we have this assignment and it's due on this day, like we want students to, you know, to reach, you know, to accomplish and to hit due dates for their own executive functioning and organization. Now we're, you know, we're making sure that they come first. So,
right.
You know, if a family reaches out and says, my child is struggling, you know, any of that structure goes out the window so that we make sure that they're okay. And there really is, you know, there's just a kindness for the kids. I mean, we've always had that anyway, but in sort of the regular structure of school, you know, we want to support students in being able to organize themselves in a way that's going to be effective for them when they leave school. And now the focus on social emotional support is priority one.
Awesome. This school is lucky to have you. You're awesome. I know Passover is coming up too. So on the Jewish side, again, it could be a great holiday for many. We're together with our families. It's also going to be for many very isolating, very different.
Yes.
And just lonely. So what do you say to those families who have loved ones or the loved ones themselves who are going to be separated from their children, their grandchildren?
Yeah, so I mean, listen, on a personal note, I had tickets to Los Angeles for Pesach, and we were going to come, and we were going to see family, we were going to stay with friends, and, you know, if I was lucky, maybe I would see the Hess family, but that's not happening. And, you know, so now we've had to shift. What does it look like to be home? I will tell you, I don't know how it is for you, Shabbos is one of my favorite things of the week, and it has been very difficult. Not being able to go to shul, not being able to go to see a friend. Do you remember Benji Simon?
Sure, yeah.
So I do like a little like walk by his window and we talk for a few minutes. It's sad, very, very sad.
You throw stones against the window? No, not like an every night thing, coronavirus. Oh, it's the same thing?
Right. I mean, Tuesday nights I go with the boombox.
Yeah, boombox. Yeah.
In your eyes. Yeah.
So, oh, you didn't tell me you were a singer.
Well, you know. So, you know, on the other hand, spending more time with the children, we're playing board games, you know.
Right.
But Pesach, you know, we've ramped up. Like we bought a lot of stuff to do at home. You know, there's something beautiful about having a real child-focused Pesach that, you know, maybe now a lot of people will have that opportunity as opposed to when they maybe go to family and, you know, they're with a large group and their kids don't get that opportunity. But with that said, we know it's going to be difficult, which is why as a school, you know, we were going on break. Friday was our last day. We have decided as a school, we are not going on break and we are going to keep school running, obviously not during the Chag itself, but before and Chol HaMoed and after. We're having a whole special program. We're going to do a model Seder a little differently than usual. We're going to do a live burning of the Chametz. We're going to have clubs, electives. We're going to make sure that our kids still stay connected. And then for this, you know, for the Chag itself, you know, we're providing resources and hopefully the families will be able to find the silver linings and the blessings in being home, you know, just with themselves. But at the same time, we recognize it's going to be very, very difficult.
Well, please share those resources with me and those links so we can be part of it too. And it's going to be tough. Before I let you go, Eliezer, first of all, thank you again for your time. You seem like a great guy and a great head of school. They're lucky to have you. I'm lucky to know you. Here's where it might get a little ugly though. Okay.
I'm not going to hold back.
Don't hold back like you usually do. Okay. Tell me how you really feel. By the way, if you think it's tough doing an interview with just one person texting you, if for everyone who ever sees me look off the screen or try to hold in a laugh during one of these interviews, it's because of Dr. Jones and my wife.
I thought Sasha was working.
Sasha is working, but you know, Baruch Hashem, she can multitask, which I have a problem with. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. Last night, I spent some significant time going through a movie list on IMDb. Now, this isn't any ordinary movie list. I wanted to be prepared for this interview.
Better not be another one of your top 10s.
And you've been publicly bashing my top 10 list. I figured we'd keep it to 90s movies. Now, I was looking through all these 90s movies. This is from 1990 through 1999. So, you know, movies like The Matrix in 99, they make the cut. I went through every year. But the 90s have to be, by far, I think you would agree, I hope you agree, or I'm going to end this meeting, probably the best decade in movie making, by far. So we can get to the list.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I like the first decade where the talkies came out.
Yeah, I know. You love the talkies. You got Wilson talking, a little too talkie crazy. All right, so here's the list in no particular order.
These are movies you have chosen that you
movies from IMDb that I've now gone through the Sally Hess filter.
Hold on. Can I just say one thing? Because you did have a 90s comedy list and you did not have The Big Lebowski on it.
I regret some choices. What you didn't take into account is how difficult that choice was. You didn't ask me how that went. You just made a judgment call on Facebook, but whatever, we can talk about that offline or right now. So let's
Facebook,
get
there's no room for a conversation on Facebook.
There's one. Let's go to the list. I have 17 movies on this list. 16 made the list, and the 17th.
Okay.
You know, I think it'll be obvious why I couldn't really include it.
All right, probably my favorite movie.
It's one of my favorite movies, and it breaks my heart that I can't include it.
Let's go. Let's see.
Now, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Goodfellas better be that list.
Five. Which one?
Goodfellas.
Hold on a second. Five of these movies are from 1993. 1993 was a very good year.
Year I graduated high school, Valley Torah alum.
Well, actually, let's start there. What five 1993 movies do you think are on this list?
I'm supposed to remember what movies were.
We'll just name some movies. Yeah, Jurassic Park is one of them. Here, I'll give you.
Okay, hold on. Jurassic Park was amazing, game changer.
Yeah.
Spielberg rocked it. You know, that kind of like live action with the animatronic did not exist before.
No.
I saw that in the theater. And
was that old claymation movie with the Harry Hamlin? Remember that? It was always on Channel 5.
Oh, like the
Titans?
One, Jesus? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was that Christian with the kid and the dog and the claymation.
No. The Christmas movie?
No, I don't remember, but it was, there was some kid and a dog and it was Christian. And it was fantastic.
Okay, I'll look into it. I'll Google that.
Someone in the chat, if someone can put it there. All right.
Next, 93, come on.
Groundhog Day.
That is a good one. It's not on my top 16 here.
Ugh.
It's great. I'm gonna read through this.
I'll tell you what's not on your list, and it should be, but I know it's not, but it was a fantastic movie, Falling Down.
Falling Down is a great movie.
Michael Douglas.
Does it hold up? And Robert Duvall.
I think it holds up. We've all had that kind of day at work.
That wasn't the question. I really want to read your journal now, by the way. Now I really want to read it.
You know,
okay,
you
have to go through
As a Jew, I hope this is on your list, although...
Yeah, you know, it is.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you where it is on my list, but Schindler's List is on the list.
Oh, Schindler's List. Yeah, I meant Schindler's List.
You ever see that Seinfeld? Or he falls asleep? No, he doesn't fall asleep. You know what happens when he goes to see Schindler's List?
Oh, yeah. How could he fall asleep? Yeah, terrible.
Let's go through the list. Good Will Hunting.
How do you like them apples?
How do you like them apples? You agree?
Boom. Boom. Yeah, fantastic.
Like this.
Robin, for me, one of my favorite Robin Williams movies.
He won the Oscar.
Did he? Oh, I did not know that.
He did.
Well deserved.
Yes, indeed. Shawshank Redemption.
Okay, so I know I love Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to get some flack for this, but I just don't know why it's like considered one of the greatest. It was good.
Any other year that would win Best Picture?
Yeah, no, I know. I liked it. If you're like at a cocktail party, I don't go to those. But if you're at a cocktail party, someone's Shawshank Redemption. I'm like, shut up. Come on, really?
Who was
like,
that? Who were you imitating? Who was that?
I don't know.
Go to cocktail parties with Mr. Howell? Mr. Howell is back. Any other year that wins Best Picture by far.
Great movie. I can see it often, but I don't know if I put it up there.
You know, that lost out to a movie that I really wanted to have on my list, but I've tried watching. I know I'm going to get flack for this. I've tried watching this movie more than a few times, and I can't anymore. Forrest Gump.
Oh, fantastic movie.
I know, but I can't. It doesn't hold up for me.
Oh, I could see that over and over again. Yeah. Although, yeah, I guess, you know, it's a good, I haven't seen it in a long time, actually.
It's hard to sit through, but it's a great movie. It's not on my list, but another Tom Hanks vehicle is Saving Private Ryan.
Really?
98. You didn't like that? Are you kidding me?
Oh, I thought we were in 93 still.
No, I moved on. Oh. You were talking too much about Claymation, so I had to get out of there.
Saving Private Ryan was fantastic. I enjoyed the sequel, 1917, that just came out.
I don't know if I should laugh at that or not.
but it was, that was a good movie. But yeah, for sure, Saving Private Ryan was fantastic.
Really a prequel.
I thought it would be.
It's a prequel, you know.
1917.
There were only two world wars. That was hard to get wrong. this one, I don't know if it's a popular choice, but I could watch it over and over and over again, and it's really one of my favorite movies of all time, The Truman Show. I love that movie.
It is a great movie. I don't know if I could watch it more than twice.
Oh, I love that movie. Here's one that I know you've seen over and over again. I don't know why I'm so excited about it, because it's a very, very rough movie to watch. History X.
Ooh, that's a fantastic movie. Very rough to watch. That scene.
I've been to that high school. That's Venice High School.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I think that was a fantastic, powerful, powerful movie. And I would put that on any list.
Okay, good. This is history right now that we're agreeing.
Yeah.
Well, and I hope I'm recording. Oh, man. Okay, here's one. Don't argue with me on this one. Just do me a favor. Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. What?
Okay. Solomon.
Come on.
The only reason I would give that to you is because I actually think it was this sort of comedy game changer. I had a bad experience with it. I watched it, thought it was hilarious, and thought it would be, I was away at some vacation with a bunch of families and there were a lot of children, my own children. I'm like, oh, we could show this to children. This is a child's movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was not. I had to shut it off. So
you never really finish it.
Well, I saw it. Yeah, it gets old fast. A lot of shit videos brought together.
Yeah. Oh, you could do. Basically, what you're saying is you could do better. You have done better.
If I understand correctly, I believe he wrote it in like one night. or one awesome. Week.
Oh, did he? Mike I Myers?
Google that.
I will Google that. Right after I Google the claymation dog in Christmas movie. Heat.
Oh.
Nero and Pacino. Fantastic. I don't know why. My parents let me see that movie. I think I was 10 years old when I came out. You did?
I saw that in the theater. I believe I was in New York at the time, and it was fantastic.
Unbelievable movie.
That I can see over and over. Oh, I love it.
First time that they actually shared any scenes together. Do you know the only other movie aside from The Irishman, which is, no. I mean, too long to recommend, and I actually don't think Pacino was very good in that. What was the other movie that they were in together, but they shared no scenes?
Adam's Family Values?
Close, really close. That's where my mind went too.
I feel like I read this recently when The Irishman came out, but I'm blanking.
De Niro won an Oscar for it, Best Supporting Actor.
Godfather?
Godfather.
Two.
Yeah, two.
Yeah.
Very good. Oh, they shared no scenes because De Niro played his dad.
That is one of my favorite, Godfather 1 and 2. I know that's like cliche to almost say that it's my favorite movie.
Yeah. Are those famous films? I've never heard of them. God, what did you say?
Yeah, it's about a dog.
And animated?
Yeah, Christian.
Usual Suspects.
Oof, also good. What was the main guy?
Kaiser Sose.
Yeah.
Oh, great movie. Hard to keep off this list.
Could we tell the ending? I mean, I think if you haven't seen it at this point, you'd shame on you. It's the guy. It's the guy who got.
He's involved. Him. I'll just say, like, pay attention to the end. Yeah. Like, don't leave.
Yeah.
You know? If you think you know, you have no idea.
You don't.
It's and not Stephen Baldwin, maybe his finest performance ever. And only. No, Biodome also. Biodome. There's no Pauly Shore on this list. I got to redo this whole thing. Yeah. The Rock.
Oh, that.
Can't not put The Rock on here.
One of the few Criterion Collection DVDs I own.
The Rock. I don't know. There are a lot of, you're in the education world, a lot of educators. I think this is their guilty pleasure, The Rock. Like all the time. I found that from.
And my old school, and again, I don't know, you know, this was a high school, but we did a dive-in movie where we it was like a pool party and we showed a movie and it was The Rock.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. Great, great.
That does sound cool. Sean Connery, you know, he's still
The Rock.
He's still kicking. Do it again, one more time.
Welcome to The Rock.
Nice. I don't know. I like that better than the Mr. Howell at the cocktail party.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Has he been in anything lately?
No, he's up there. He's. I don't think he's moving around too much.
That's too bad. He's great.
Yeah, he's a hero. Dumb and then the last. Oh, there's three.
Don't say it.
Dumb and Dumber. How could you not approve of that on this list? Okay, then the next one also is another Jim Carrey.
This is where you go off the rails.
Ace Ventura is on this list. That was his breakout hit. Are you not a Jim Carrey fan?
I am.
And we should have talked before the Zoom interview.
I am a Jim Carrey fan.
Wow.
Love his old stuff from In Living Color.
James Carrey.
Mm-hmm. Was he? I didn't know that.
Yes.
You know,
what do you know?
There's too silly. I enjoy a good comedy, but there's too silly for me. And Ace Ventura falls into that. Dumb and Dumber was good, but more dumb than dumber. And but like Me, Myself, and Irene was great.
You like that more?
Yes, it had a little depth to it. It, you know, there was more going on. It wasn't just silliness.
Oh my goodness. You think you know a guy. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's about maturity. It's about maturity, Sally.
Okay, two more movies and then we're going to go to the movie that I can't leave on here and we can talk about that.
Well, like Billy Madison. That's your problem. You put Billy Madison.
I did not. Billy Madison is not on this list.
All right, I'm just saying. Sure. Like Tommy Boy. Tommy Boy had a real story, a real arc. You know,
I think it's the 25th anniversary, like today or yesterday.
May he rest in peace.
Yep, that was a rough day. The Sandlot is on here.
As a child, sure.
First movie I ever saw by myself in the theater. I was really young.
One of the first rated R movies I ever saw, which I blame this parent for the longest time, was Nightmare on Elm Street.
How old were you?
I was 13. too young. Bar mitzvah party. They're like, let's show a movie. I had nightmares that night that I will literally, I still have nightmares about the nightmares.
Ridiculous. That explains a lot.
It does.
I'm very too bad you did not have Wilson with you at that party. I think that would have come in handy.
I never sleep anymore.
The Fugitive, 93 as well.
good.
Come on. It's a, it, I think it's his best film. I really do.
Harrison Ford's best film?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I know he's been in other things, and I know you have.
Do you know that?
Yeah. Yeah, he was just, first of all, although I have, to be fair, I haven't seen his latest. I haven't seen Call of the Wild yet with that animated CGI dog. So it could be that his.
Enough with him already. Yeah. But.
Oh, and here, the last movie on here is Mrs. Doubtfire, also in 1993.
Come on. Yeah, you put that on your list before.
Classic.
It is. It's fantastic. I guess that's the thing. Some classics deserve recognition, but may not be
the best of what they are.
Yeah,
in
like
their class.
Is it the best Robin Williams movie?
No. Oh, interesting. What's yours? Popeye?
No. I actually Good Will Hunting for sure. I loved him.
Yeah,
although he wasn't a main character.
Dead Poets Society. That's not comedy.
Oh,
he's very good.
Fantastic.
You know, he studied at Juilliard.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's where he met Christopher Reeve.
There's a lot of sadness in this.
Well, it's going to get worse right now. Okay. So buckle up. The movie that I left off, but I grew up loving and watching, also a little too young to start watching at 10 years old, but I really, every week I would watch a little bit of it, Braveheart.
Oh, yeah.
1995, but I know. I'm a man of faith. I cannot leave that on the list.
Yeah, conflicted. I get that. Fantastic. Fantastic movie. What is it? Freedom! Wait.
No, that was it. No, we're... Wait, are you wearing pants? Don't stand up. Wow. I'm honored, by the way, that you're wearing pants.
Freedom!
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, I came prepared for this.
You certainly did. I have no words.
You know what, actually?
Is that a collar knife?
Do you know what this is from, Solly?
No.
Give it a second. Just
the Scottish? Oh, the Scottish Festival.
Yes.
Nice. Wow. And you kept it because of me.
I did. There's two things that I cherish in life.
Yeah. Wilson. By the way, and those two can never really be together.
No.
Yeah. That'll be the end of Wilson. Wow.
That would be crazy. Yeah, Braveheart for sure. Fantastic movie, but...
Josh and I went to Scotland, by the way. Braveheart's a farce, just so you know.
Really?
It's a farce. And we were sightseeing in Scotland for 5 days, and Sasha will tell you, all I could talk about was how upset I was that Braveheart was false. Like,
where was it shot? Like in Burbank?
No. I got a soundstage. He butchered their history. He's not even Braveheart. Robert the Bruce is.
That is
Braveheart.
True. I did.
They
yes,
they never even knew each other.
Well, he did change a lot of history with his movies.
Yes.
So he's sort of known for that.
Yeah. So sorry, Mel. But then, you know, the last day we were there, we were in a souvenir shop, and I see pictures of Mel Gibson in the makeup, Braveheart pictures everywhere for sale. So I go to the man behind the register, the guy selling the stuff, and I go, I don't understand. All week I've been hearing how much you hate Mel Gibson and how much you hate the movie. Why do you have Mel Gibson everywhere all over your store? And he goes like this.
Yeah, like, gotta give the people what they want.
I understand. Yeah. Okay, Dr. Jones, you are an amazing, amazing guest, an awesome friend, a fantastic head of school. Thank you so much for joining us. Any final words before we end this interview?
You know, first of all, thank you. This has been a real pleasure, a real distraction. And but I just really appreciate you, your family, everything that you're doing. And I just wish you, your family, and everyone safety and health. And just let's get out of this soon so we can go back to hopefully a new normal where we appreciate each other more and realize that the face-to-face connection is really what we should value most.
Amen. Thank you. Happy Passover. Happy kosher Passover. Safe and healthy week, day, year to you and your family. Everything should be over soon. And I look forward to giving you not a virtual hug, but a real hug and a high five in the very near future.
Amen. Thank you. Take care, buddy.